You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The oil price consistently enthralls, not least because of its strategic importance and sensitivity to geopolitics and global hostilities. Recently, the latter have caused unprecedented oil price volatility. We've had these wild swings characterizing recent trading sessions. With me to try to make sense of it all is Paul Gooden, portfolio manager at 91 in London. It's been astonishing in the last couple of months. I just go back to May when it was about $60 a barrel, Brent crude that is, Paul, got up to nearly 80 this week and now down to just below 70, all over the place. Why?
Yeah, so look, I mean, lots of volatility, and really what has happened is a geopolitical premium was put into the oil price, and now that's kind of unwinding. And really, it all really started on Friday the 13th of June, when Israel bombed Iran, and it kind of culminated over the weekend when the US launched its own attack on the Iranian nuclear facilities. So, you know, a lot of uncertainty, and essentially, you know, about 20 million barrels a day of crude and product moves through the Straits of Hormuz, which is right next to Iran. So the concern was is that this could spill over into a regional war that could then curtail some of the exports through the Straits of Hormuz, and that would then tighten up the market. So yeah, that's really what's driven the last couple of weeks.
So a regional war, but also the possibility that Iran would actually block the Straits of Hormuz. That's been mooted. But then somebody else said, well, they can't do that because then their tankers couldn't get out to go to China, for example.
Yeah, that's entirely true. So it would be an act of self-harm. But if you're backed into a corner and you feel like you have no other option to put pressure on other folks in the global economy, then, you know, it was an option for Iran to do that. But it kind of seems that, you know, there's sort of de-escalation in the air. And I think certainly both China and the US have an incentive to kind of, you know, pressure Iran not to curtail barrels and not to block the Straits of Hormuz, not least because, as you allude to, China gets most of its oil from Iran and most of it comes through the Straits of Hormuz. So China, which is, you know, seemingly providing support to Iran, you know, don't want those barrels curtailed. So I think there's a sense in just the last you know, day or two that we could be through the worst in terms of this geopolitical premium. And now the market's attention is beginning to turn to the supply over the oversupply that we seemingly have post the summer peak demand season, and oversupply that we have next year because OPEC Plus is adding back barrels.
Yeah. Just going back to geopolitics before we talk about supply and demand in the future, it seems that things have calmed down, and certainly you and market participants are predicting that if I look at my screen. But on the other hand, the ceasefire that was trumpeted by Trump overnight, even before it had been ratified, has already been broken by both Iran and Israel. And a furious Trump said a rude word about about the two of them this morning, the two countries. So even a ceasefire, which seemed cast in stone for a while, can be broken very quickly. So it's a fragile truce to me.
Look, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, we can't be complacent. And if the events of the last few weeks have taught us anything, it's to expect the unexpected. But I would have thought, you know, the oil price was kind of like $65 at the start of June. You know, we've gone up to close to 80. We're now back at kind of 68. I would kind of expect over the next period, you kind of get back to that 65 level. I don't know if that's days or weeks or months. Once that geopolitical premium has come out of the oil price, then the market's attention will turn to the sort of more fundamental supply-demand imbalance.
Terribly difficult for producers, consumers, hedgers, traders, investors, isn't it, with all this volatility? And off-air, you said to me, yes, making my life a little bit difficult. Difficult, but interesting. You think it's going to come down, but it can't come down that far, given the background that we've been talking of.
Look, the distinction I would make is between the paper markets and the physical market. So the paper markets, you know, it's the price that you see on the screen, and that is driven by, in part, by speculators. betting on these types of geopolitical things. You've then got the physical market, which is like, you know, how many molecules, how many barrels of supply are available versus how much is demanded. So, you know, we need to make that distinction. And look, my view is that unless there is sort of physical disruption to exports from the Middle East, then ultimately the paper markets will be sort of driven by the physical markets. You know, what that kind of means is the geopolitical premium kind of comes out of the oil price. And so, yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if it's days or weeks or months. You know, we need to remain vigilant. But the sort of the fundamental story, I think, you know, for the next 6 to 9 months is, you know, we're looking at an oversupplied oil market, which you know, the market has to physically balance. And so, you know, the cure for, you know, oversupply is to have a lower oil price that then incents producers to produce less oil. But look, what I will say is, you know, the outlook is not entirely gloomy, because, you know, one of the reasons that the market is oversupplied in the second half of this year is because OPEC Plus is bringing back barrels to the market. And I think by the end of this year, we could be in a position whereby the excess OPEC spare capacity is back on the market. And at the same time, US shale is plateauing, because the key shale drillers are kind of running into harder geology, i.e. they're running out of tier one inventory. And so, you know, US shale has been a deflationary force in oil markets for the last decade. And looking into next year, it looks like, you know, shale's plateaued. So it's not going to be that deflationary force anymore. So those two factors combined, you know, the OPEC barrels back on the market, Shell not growing anymore, those potentially set up, you know, a more optimistic scenario for, you know, the second half of next year.
Are you saying that shale producers are now having to go deeper in enduring, or rather encountering, more difficult conditions, and therefore it's more expensive for them to get the oil out of the ground, and therefore they need higher prices, and therefore they curtail production?
Yeah, that's basically right. I mean, but the reality is, it's not that you have to drill deeper. It's just that, you know, certain formations have got, you know, better oil characteristics, and other ones have, you know, slightly less good characteristics. And it just means you're kind of moving from that tier one type well to that tier two type well, where, you know, you need a higher oil price to justify the drilling of doing that. And look, the reality is, it's a range. It's not as simple as, you know, moving from one type of well to another type of well. Different EMPs have different inventory situations, but as a general trend across US shale, it kind of seems that, you know, they're beginning to run into some headwinds. And, you know, I'm not saying that US shale is, you know, fundamentally going to go down over the next 2 or 3 years. I just don't think it's going to grow much.
What about OPEC? What about Saudi Arabia? What noises are they making given what's happened in the last few days?
Well, actually, remarkably little from Saudi in the last week or so. But, you know, in the months sort of ahead of this geopolitical issue, you know, Saudi and OPEC have been adding back barrels faster than they initially indicated. And some people speculate that maybe that means that Trump gave them the heads up, i.e. we're going to get involved in Iran, so get some barrels back on the market ahead of schedule. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But I think that, you know, something to really keep an eye on is, in the next few weeks, OPEC will be meeting again and deciding what they do for the next production increase. And so, you know, I'll be looking very closely. Do they go for kind of like a standard production increase, or do they go for, you know, a triple production increase, which is what they've done in the last couple of months? I suspect they'll go for the triple production increase. And I think that puts them on course to kind of add back all the excess barrels they've talked about by the end of the year.
As a portfolio manager, how are you positioning yourself?
Nimbly is the answer. I mean, we are quite a significant underweight in energy in the global natural resources portfolio as of about 3 weeks ago. I would now describe it as a kind of like a medium-sized underweight. And so, you know, you have to sort of de-risk into these events a little bit. But, you know, we've still got a meaningful underweight. You know, I shared my views, you know, on the oil price between now and the end of the year. And, you know, as a team, we basically see better risk reward in other types of commodities and equities at the moment.
Very good. Paul, thank you so much for your time. Paul Gooden is a portfolio manager at 91 in London. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors, and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.